Welcome to O2 Coaching's Empower Your Team podcast series with your host, Chloe Caron, founder and president of O2 Coaching. As an executive coach, author, businesswoman, thought leader, and speaker with more than 20 years of experience, Chloe's USC, her unique strategic contribution, is to create a new generation of inspiring and inspired leaders by positively impacting the lives of 1 million leaders through her webinars, conferences, books, and podcasts. In this podcast series, Chloe and her guests will take you on a journey, sharing their leadership stories, struggles, successes, and learnings. The conversations will highlight practical advice and insights for leaders. Be sure to share your thoughts on this podcast series on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. Enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to my Empower Your Team podcast. I'm Chloe Caron. If you've missed our last podcast with Lisa Stidell-Smith, please go and have a listen because we talk about mindfulness and letting go of your ego, because all of these ability to really manage your ego, to develop mindfulness and presence to others, allow you to be an even stronger leader as you engage with others and in just a more profound fashion for better connections, and how these connections can actually accelerate the success of your team, because you're aligned to oneself and you're aligned to the others. So really a great conversation. If you haven't had the chance, please do. And this week, this is our last of this season. How quickly time flies. It's amazing. With Nicolas Gaudreau, brand builder, C-level executive, corporate director, teacher, CMO at Sail, we talk about staying on track for success. This is the end of the year. So as you're thinking about 2020 and how crazy this year has been, there's been obviously lots of challenges. There's been successes, I know. So this is an invitation to actually have a great picture of that year. See where things are going well, perhaps not so well. And so what kind of objectives do you want to set for your team for next year? And how you're going to keep track of that, not in a disengaging way, but rather as a very empowering way, a tool to create empowerment, engagement, innovation, by being clear on what the objectives are, how we're keeping track, what are our KPIs, so that we're all aligned and working together as one team in the pursuit of achieving those results, in the pursuit of coming together and making our mission and what I call your Team USC real. This is the conversation with Nicolas in prep for next year. I'm really looking forward to seeing you and hearing you and being with you again next year in 2021 as we embark in the best year ever. So looking forward to seeing you there. And in the meantime, be inspired and inspire as always. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our podcast, Empower Your Team. This week, we have Nicolas Gaudreau. Nicolas is VP Marketing at Sail. He's done amazing roles. We're going to get to talk about this. Nicolas, welcome to our podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
No, thank you for having me, Chloe.
You qualify yourself as having played a key role in the development of the online media industry in Canada. You're known for that. You've been in so many different industries like telecom, fashion, and every time the challenges linked with that transformation, you saw that as an opportunity. How so?
It's all the same. I've been doing this for about 20 years now. It's always the same. It's at the root of it is consumer behavior and consumer evolving consumer behavior and understanding what drives consumer and how to be relevant in their lives. Now the means have changed. 20 years ago, digital was just nascent, and in the past 20 years, obviously we've seen major shift in the way that marketing happens, but it's all about understanding consumer, understanding what moves them and how to be relevant in their lives.
And obviously the context in which you and I are having this conversation within the pandemic, retail has been, I was going to say hit, but let's say transformed in a way that perhaps we didn't expect. What's been the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity you find in this context?
Well, actually, I the pandemic offered us a unique opportunity to be even more relevant in their lives. When March 13 hit, millions of consumers suddenly were asking themselves, different questions, and we're living different lives. We're all in, home and worrying for our health and worrying for our jobs. And every company had to rethink what does this mean for them and for us, and how can we touch consumers? How can we be relevant to them? So actually for Cell, it was a brilliant moment for us to rethink the way we talk to consumers and how to connect with them on a daily basis. So tactically what it meant is, really understanding how they felt and making sure that we were something positive in their lives. We happen to be in lifestyle brand. We happen to be in outdoor, lifestyle. And, consumers basically flock to that desire of freedom and discovery and outdoor. And we were able to push in ourselves in a very favorable way with consumers. And they welcomed us in their lives. And we're thankful for this. Hmm.
You as an expert, either a VP or your CMO, same thing, but as the expert of that transformation that you create within organization, lots of companies go to you. They want you as advisors on their boards or just as advisors. What do they come to you with in terms of concerns, questions? Why do they seek your expertise?
Oh, a bit of strategy, but execution is more important. Transformation is not a matter of necessarily innovation. Transformation is obviously has to do with technology and digital, but it doesn't stop there at all. It's by and large, transformation fail or succeed in change management and understanding how consumers react to your change and understanding how your own company reacts to your change. So change management and being able to communicate clearly and make sure transformation is way beyond technology, I think is something that is really important. And my 20 years of experience that I can easily bring to the table.
And that's actually how we met, you and I. You were doing a presentation, and what you're talking about execution is what really struck me, because our specific topic today is staying on track for success. Or keeping track of success could have been our title as well. And that's one of the topics we address in my book, Empower Your Team. When you did your presentation, it was clear to me that focus on how we execute, how we keep track of our execution was key in the way you operate. And I was really curious to hear you more on that. You're actually... You were part of the book. I interviewed you for the book, and I really wanted to hear you further in our podcast. So how do you decide how you're going to measure and what you're going to measure? How do you go about keeping that success on track?
Well, first, my obsession on execution comes from the fact that, it's relatively easy to come with a strategy. You pretty much can come up with a strategy and do a nice PowerPoint. It's relatively easy. And there's a saying that says, execution eats strategy for breakfast. So you can have the nicest PowerPoint slides, but if you don't execute it, it's all meaningless. So that ends my obsession for execution. Execution comes from various factors, one of which is clarity of purpose. If you're crystal clear about what you want to do and why you want to do it, and if you communicate that, and if you're able to share that passion, and if you're able to show every single of your employee the role they have in that new purpose, that brings you a long way toward alignment and toward execution. It's that simple. Clarity of purpose is a big, big thing for me.
It's that simple, and yet, very little do it to the level that you suggest doing it. What do you specifically do that allows you to be clear on that purpose and then communicate it and then engage the team behind that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, clarity of purpose, it has to be somewhat compelling. It has to be something that is goes beyond and the simple mundane task of driving revenue or driving EBITDA. It has to be inspiring. So the leader has a big role in inspiring people by defining a dream, defining something's worth pursuing, defining something that's worth, you know, not spending time with your kids and working hard at work. So that's number one is defining a compelling dream. And then it's about the rhythm, the predictability, the ritual, the method that you're going to follow, initiate, and follow up on everybody's contribution. You know, I like to have rituals. I like to have method. I like to have discipline. And by and large, everybody likes discipline. And by and large, everybody likes rhythm because it brings predictability and it brings everybody knows what they have to do. So it's back to alignment. When I talk about rhythm, I talk about, you know, the way that you measure success on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, the way that you follow up on your commitment, on your group and individual commitment on a weekly basis. It's not about micromanagement. It's about really acting as one family and acting all of us toward the greater inspiring goal that we've set up for ourselves.
So I know you meet with your team, or at least the team meets every day, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
For a quick
That's
scrum,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, every single day, 8:30, we've got a results review. We've got somewhat of a scrum happening. Obviously, in using Zoom and Teams, it's not stand up in room, but every day 8:30, we've got this ritual where we review every single meaningful KPI, and we take action on a daily basis. That brings an immediate focus. But then after, we've got weekly review where you assess the weekly results, and then you've got a monthly review, which brings you a longer term perspective. So it's also about combining the immediate tactical decisions with the somewhat medium, longer term view of the business.
So when we were all together in one company and we were all present, I'm assuming you had your dashboard where everybody would stand up and look at that dashboard. Now that, to your point, we're via Zoom, how do you keep track of that dashboard?
You know, tactically, it's very simple. It's a shared document that we share on a screen, but everyone talks to the numbers. It's not as if, you know, there's someone who reports outside in. Every owner of every single number is there to talk about their own results, their own numbers, and what they're going to do. And the point is definitely not about finger pointing and finding blame for when it doesn't work. It's about, you know, all of us being responsible for the growth of the company, and all of us asking help if need be.
You know, I had Paul Lorette on the podcast earlier, and he talks about the red, green, and yellow, and he talks about actually wanting more yellow and red than green. Obviously, you want green, but it's being comfortable with the yellow and the red is what I'm also hearing in what you're saying. So that...
Yeah, that, and it's about as well how you set the initial KPIs on benchmark. You know, it has to be high enough so that it's challenging, and it's not a slam dunk to achieve. I like to take the analogy of the Olympic Games. You know, when people they run and they try to jump over a bar with a big stick. I don't know how to say it in English, but you know what I'm talking about. And it's funny, you know, when do we know that we've raised the bar high enough? It's like it's when the first candidate starts falling and not meeting the bar. So it's a question of how high you set the bar and how ambitious you set your target. It's got to be ambitious enough so that, you know, you don't always get greens.
And you talk about celebrating as well as a feedback loop. I'm curious, say more about that.
Well, when you drive transformation, you drive huge cultural change. Obviously, people will start acting differently, and expectations are that people act differently. if you want to get people to act differently, you need a different culture. And the best way to anchor the new culture is to celebrate those who embrace a new culture and those that achieve success under a new culture. So you got to celebrate. You got to celebrate the small wins. You got to celebrate the big wins. But you got to make visible every single success so that people, people will emulate those who succeed. And if you make visible every single success, you know, people are in the dumb and they will basically want to emulate other successes.
When you've identified a KPI and there's a sense that perhaps that's not the right KPI to look at. And I know you like leading KPIs rather than lagging KPIs, but when do you decide it's not the right KPI, and when are you okay to say, let's change that or let's explore furthermore?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two topics here. First, KPIs must be relevant, that if there's a fluctuation in KPI, we actually care. You know, many will track lots of KPIs, and if they drop by 10, 25%, they won't care and they'll move on. That's not a right KPI. KPI has got to be meaningful. And if a KPI drops by 10% in a single day, let's say, any KPI, well, that KPI must be that it's going to create chaos and it's going to create panic. Otherwise, it's not a meaningful KPI. So I'd go for, you know, meaningful KPI. Now, in terms of leading to indicators and input and output, outputs are stuff like EBITDA and revenue and other output kind of KPIs. You know, for sure they're important, but it's too late. If you start measuring output, it's too late and the shift have happened and you just missed the opportunity. So that's why you're going to focus. Yeah, so the ship upsell. So you're going to focus on the leading indicators. You're going to focus on the stuff that's actually predictor of revenue and not revenue itself. And for that requires usually a huge change in culture in every single company. But in our environment today where things change so quickly, every 6 months you got to reinvent yourself almost. If you don't focus on leading indicators, you're never going to see the change and you're never going to lead the pattern. So that's why I really focus on leading indicators. And most of the time, by the way, most of the time these leading indicators have to do with consumer behavior. Back to where I started speech earlier 10 minutes ago, it's all about understanding consumer behavior, and that's what you're going to measure. And you're going to be obsessed with how consumers are reacting and what signals are they giving us. So the I like to refer to the Deep Space Nine signals. You know, these faraway signals that are coming to us, and if you don't listen to them, once they hit us, it's going to be too late.
Jeff Bezos from Amazon talks about that obsession towards clients, towards listening to your clients. I'm hearing probably the same type of obsession here with you. How can we really listen? Like, what kind of KPIs would help us listen to our clients and be more in tuned with that? Because our success obviously is dependent on our clients.
Well, it's all depending on each company and each industry. So it's tough to make generalities out of it. But if the success of a company relies on consumers, you know, having some needs, it starts by understanding their needs as opposed to understanding the solution that they're going to put forward, which is hopefully buy your product. You know, it's far beyond the simple listening of social media or simple listening on email reaction or stuff like that. It's about understanding what's the deep need of consumers and how are they going about solving that need. And again, every single industry has got different KPIs or way to look at it. So it's a bit difficult for me to bring generalities here to this table.
In this day and age, in the context of the pandemic, are there any needs that you see are trending? Like I'm assuming security, safety would be one, but...
For sure, it's big. Yeah. For sure, it's big. Boredom is a big one. Especially when we're all confined, boredom, fear, anxiety, and how you relieve this. And each consumers relieve their own anxiety and fear with different consumption patterns. You just got to hit the right trigger. I always like to say, you know, I teach at university and stuff like that. I always like to say that, you know, being a great marketer is like being a great dentist. Mm-hmm. And I bring the analogy of when you're sitting on a chair and the dentist is actually drilling your teeth, and you hear, or cleaning your teeth, and you do your ears, and then suddenly it hits a nerve, you know, it hits a nerve, and then you react, you've got this pain, this huge pain, and that's because the dentist actually put his finger or his tool directly on the nerve. And that's the job of the great marketer. The great marketer is to understand where to make the consumer react in the same way that you react on the dentist chair.
Without being a sadist.
But to do this...
Nicola.
Yeah, for sure. But the point is to understand how to make consumer listen to you and how to make consumer react to what you have to say. And that's the real magic. And so this, you know, it's almost at the intersection, if you will, of marketing and psychology. To truly understand consumer, it's almost at the intersection of psychology, and not that I'm a psychologist and I've got no claim to understanding, you know, the deep human behavior, but that's what a true marketer has to do. It has to feel the consumer pain. It has to feel what's on their mind, and be able to propose a solution to this. Mm-hmm. That's the real magic of marketing in my mind.
So that interest for others, because that's what you're talking about, interest for the other person, for your customers, your consumers, is very similar in my mind. I'm curious to hear you on that. As a leader, you also have to be very curious about your team, about your peeps, as I call them. As a teacher, you mentioned that, as a teacher, you're really focused on growth, on growing others, on their expertise. And I'm assuming as a leader, you have the same interest of growing your team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you go about doing that? Or what's your method? What's your mm-hmm. approach?
Mm-hmm. A completely different approach, obviously, on professional environment and academic environment. But the focus on growth is the same. And in my opinion, one of the most important quality that as a marketer you must have, or as a teacher, or as a mere human being, is empathy. Mm-hmm. Empathy is the ability to really feel, to understand, you know, what's on the other's side, and be able to be relevant that way. Empathy, you know, for the fun facts, comes from obviously the Greek word pathy, and pathy means in Greek pain. So it's understanding that fascinating for me to say that empathy is about understanding someone's pain or someone's deep behavior. Now, on a professional professional setting, obviously that's not about, you know, being a psychologist. It's about setting inspiring goals. And empowering people to reach for the moon. And I'll tell you something, Chloe, there is little more rewarding in my day-to-day job than actually looking at someone reaching out for that moon and actually achieving that moon and being thankful for me and inviting this trip. There's nothing more rewarding.
Seeing someone to be proud of achieving their full potential, and you knowing that you planted that seed or created that environment for them to achieve that. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So now to our 1 minute question. I'm curious to hear you on that. Quick questions where, you know, you just answer in a couple of words or sentences. First off, what is your own USC? In my book, I talk a lot about your unique strategic contribution. Where do we make a difference in terms of the highest strategic level? I'm curious mm-hmm. to hear you on, what's your own USC?
Oh, I think I'm in a unique position to build very powerful teams. Every time, you know, I've took on challenges, I've proud myself in building absolutely the best team that I could, and that's the basis of any success. Now, with that great team, my ambition is always the same, is not only the growth of the company, but also the transformation of the whole industry. And that's what gives the sense of purpose I'm looking for.
You see beyond your company. You always think industry. Yeah. What's your one tip to empowering your team?
The one tip to empower your team, I think, is again, clarity of purpose. And empowering people to take on their challenges and make their own way. The notion of empowering people is really important. You know, I've talked about the daily routine of KPIs, and I've talked about, you know, this is not about micromanagement, and actually it isn't. When you empower people and when people are proud and they take on themselves what needs to get done, you know, that's where empowering happens. There's a great leadership quote, not that I like military leadership quote, but I like General Eisenhower before D-Day, before launching hundreds of thousands of young men to their death on the beaches. And there's this quote, at least he's repeated to say that leadership is about getting others to do what needs to get done at their own will. You can see the context of the beaches, obviously, but nonetheless, I think the leadership is getting to get people to do what needs to get done at their own will. You know, is very relevant in today's environment where people, you know, they don't need handholding. They don't need, you know, they're very capable individuals, or otherwise they wouldn't be in your team. But they need to be empowered to do whatever needs to get done. Hmm.
What's one piece of advice you would give a leader that wants to raise their game?
One piece, again, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer with one piece of advice. That'd be a simple magic recipe that I'd love to have. But, you know, it's about authenticity. It's about, you know, authenticity is a big, big important. As a leader, if you're not authentic with yourself first and with others, you're just not going to succeed. You know, at the beginning of my career, more than 35 years ago, I remember, you know, as I started to work, the notion of being myself at work was not the notion I have today. And you really, really need to be completely authentic to yourself first, to have the right to be your leader. Leadership and respect is not something that comes with an org chart. It's not something that comes that is due. It's something that is earned. Mm-hmm. And leaders need to earn that every single day. And how do they do that? But it's authenticity, empathy, fairness, vision, and also being credible in what they do. You know, in today's age, you got to be credible in what you do. Otherwise, people will just not, you know, listen to you.
People are sophisticated. They know a lot about a lot of things. So,
and expect the leaders to know a lot of things as well.
Yes.
The proverbial Olympic bar is raised as well for leaders.
For everyone, you mentioned already a lot of the words. I assume you would say to summarize leadership. You mentioned about empathy, about being fair. What other words would summarize leadership to you?
Inclusiveness. I like inclusiveness. You know, again, you as a leader, you select your team very carefully, and you gotta be inclusive with everyone, and there's no place for ins and outs. And so inclusiveness and fairness is very important for me. Obviously, open communication, absolutely open communication. I think hierarchical leaders was going to have a tough time moving forward. And laugh. I like to laugh and don't take yourself too seriously and just be human and thrive for collective success.
And where do you see digital marketing going in the next, I don't know how long I can ask you that question. Let's say the next year.
Well, actually, it's been a long time since I've made a separation in my mind between traditional marketing and digital marketing. People could have said that 20 years ago, but obviously with consumer behavior changing and all getting one, it's not about digital, it's not about traditional. It's not even about marketing, it's about growth. And I've said that before in previous interviews. The mere title of chief marketing officer, you know, really, really has to disappear in my mind. And I see myself as a chief growth officer, and our role as chief marketing officer is to drive growth. And at the root of it, again, is understanding consumer behavior, understanding what's on their mind, and understanding how your product and services can be a relief or something relevant in their lives.
Nicolas, I want to say thank you so much for your time, your expertise, your wit. I love it. I am sure our audience has taken lots of notes, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Oh, thank you for having me, Toy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this Empower Your Team podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and can take away powerful tools and ideas. For more free content, events, and development tools, visit our website at empoweryourteam.com or on our LinkedIn or Facebook pages. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter to continue receiving Empower Your Team content and insights.